Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, normally joined by Jason Hayes. He's still off on sabbatical. I think last week I said Jason quit, and I never went back and said I was joking. So I was listening back, and I thought, yeah, probably if somebody's listening, they don't understand my sarcasm. They may go, wow, that was a weird way to tell us that Jason is no longer part of this. But he is part of this. He's just on sabbatical, taking a much-deserved break. So today I'm joined by Corey Mayfield, who was here with me last week. Corey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Thanks for having me. We do not know that Jason has quit. We haven't talked to him.
That's true.
He's gone, but he didn't quit before he left.
That's true. So we're assuming...
We're anticipating him coming back in a couple weeks.
And so look at there was a video this past Sunday with him on it, which I'm pretty, you know, I know how these things work. I'm pretty certain that video was done long before because he had a beard still. So that video was done before sabbatical.
I think it was done the same day that you saw him probably, 3 weeks ago.
Probably, so. Yeah. Which, you know, some people were like, oh, that's so sweet. He came back just to do this video. I was like, they did that video a long time ago. And so looking forward to that, but I know that I'm sure they're having a blast and some much deserved, relaxing time. And so, before we get into the topic of the day, what's been going on? What did you do? What did you do over the weekend?
Weekend was good. I took Samuel. I've taken all three boys away to like a pre-kindergarten trip. And so Samuel and I went away to Chattanooga for an overnight trip, which is this, you know, this time where I've taken all the sons away and said, if you disgrace the name Mayfield, you will be disowned from this family.
Amen. That's good.
And it starts at 5.
That's good.
And so, you know, we just take
them
away.
Then you make him walk home.
Yeah, and say, really, what are you nervous about? What are you anticipating? And then do kind of start the conversation of, you're going to start making some friends. You're going to start making some choices. You're going to be a part of some conversations where you get to be really kind of friends, or you can make fun of friends. And we really want you to be the kind of guys that cares for friends and is kind and nice and loving. And we talk a lot about, or not a lot, but, you know, talk some about, you're going to get an opportunity to do some homework and to work, and we really want you to work towards excellence and that sort of thing. So it was fun, and we stayed at the Chattanooga Choo Choo in train.
That's awesome.
A train car, which they probably should update.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, when I was at UT, we had events there.
Okay.
And I thought the same thing.
Did you go to the train cars?
Well, we just were around that area.
Yeah.
And when you walk into the main building, you're like, this is amazing,
stunning,
gorgeous. And then you go into some of the rooms and you're like, oh, okay. Well, that you put all the money there.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe shift some of that to update some of these other rooms.
And this was a good time for me to go because he loved it. He didn't care about that.
Yeah.
But man, if Steph and I would have shown up to that place.
yeah. And, you know, not to take time to dog on Chattanooga. I'm biased. Knoxville's my place, but we took the family couple years ago, well, not even a couple, last year, we listened to all the barns. We went and saw Rock City. And so down in Chattanooga, we went and did the whole thing. I booked us a hotel, and it wasn't in the train cars, but with the key, I, you know, opened the door and looked in, and it was trashed. Like, I really told the kids, like, don't, I was afraid what we might find in there, like, legitimately, and told the kids, like, stay back. I drew my weapon. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. And so then I went down to the front desk like, hey, so I think the room is not right. And they were like, what happened? I was like, well, I mean, I took pictures. I'll show you. So rough start for Chattanooga already on this show. Love them because they're in the state of Tennessee, but there's some work to be done.
Outside of, and the train car was clean.
Sure. Well, that's good.
It just needed some updates.
That's good.
We went and saw a movie. What movie did we see? Some kids movie. I don't know. You're not going to movies.
You saw John Wick 3, probably. John Wick 3.
I'm not even sure what that is.
Oh man. Well, it's definitely not a kids movie.
When I go to kids movie, it is nap time, surf my phone time.
Yeah.
How do you do kids movies?
Well, it depends what it is because like How to Train Your Dragon, love it.
You're in?
Oh, absolutely. In completely. And unashamed. In completely. Then there's this show, and this will get me mocked, and it gets me mocked at work. There's a show on Disney. You remember the show That's So Raven? Remember Raven Simone?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so she has a show now called Raven's Home, I think, and she's a mom. She's a single mom and two kids. It is hilarious, very well written, well acted. And so, yeah, I mean, with kids, I get into some of those shows, the Pokemon and stuff. I'm done. I can't do that. But yeah, we're going to go see Lion King in a week or two, for sure.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm into all that.
So, my family's going to see Lion King Friday.
Okay.
And Steph said, "Hey, I'm going to get tickets to Lion King. Do you want to go?"
You said no.
So there was this tension in my heart of I need to be a good dad and be supportive of the family. But my wife is now saying to me,
"You have an option.
You have an option not to go to a kids movie."
That's pretty good
for
option.
2 hours. And I know that I'm going to watch Lion King 100 times over the next decade.
That's true.
And so I said no.
No.
I just was like, you know, I can stay home and mow and do some other things. I'll let you do that. And so then that turned into that. Now they're going with a bunch of families who are coming over afterward with all their kids. And so now I'm grilling out.
Well, that's good. So now you're like, hold on,
the Lion King.
Please let me go.
That's right.
Let me
we can grab Pete's on the way home.
Yeah. Well, and that brings us to the topic of the day. The topic of the day, for the Between Sunday show is, luxury items is how we spend our money. And so not necessarily, and we were talking off air that it's all relative. I mean, for some, what luxury is may not be luxury for others and vice versa. And so as we're thinking through what we're doing, like my family this weekend, we're going to a family reunion in Illinois. And then on the way back, we're going to stop in Kentucky and go to the Ark. I've read a little bit about it and I'm hoping it's going to be good. And the kids are going to, they don't know they're going, but they don't listen to the show. So they're going to have fun there. And then we're going to come back. And so we're always trying to figure out. And I think because of our context, because you work in ministry, because I work in ministry in a nonprofit setting, we're always, at least with me, I'm always trying to, every dollar we spend, I'm trying to think, okay, where is that? What's that saying about me? What's that saying about my heart? What's that saying about the direction I'm going? When someone donates to Hope, how do I see that donation? Is there I know they can give more. Wow, I'm surprised they gave that much. Or how are we viewing all of that? And I think for the everyday Christian, whether you're working in ministry or not, I think there is a sense of, okay, the Lord has given me this. What am I doing with it?
Yep.
And it's a generational thing. And so as we start that conversation, where is a good place for us to kind of jump off as we go, okay, we're much different than first century church. We're much different than, because of our context in the United States of America, we have a lot. Everybody has a lot. And so how do we then view that through a biblical lens, the way we spend our money?
Yeah. Even to think about 100 years ago, we wouldn't have two cars.
Right. Right.
Like you wouldn't maybe have one car. You definitely wouldn't have a refrigerator with an ice box. 10 years ago, we wouldn't have an iPhone sitting right here that has our email and internet and all of those kind of things. So, culture and technology advances. I mean, even taking a trip, you said Illinois for your family. Mm-hmm. I mean, taking a trip to Illinois just for a couple of days, I mean, that would be a bizarre thing.
Right. Oh, for sure. You know? For sure.
So everything advances. So then you kind of struggle with, well, is it luxury just because a generation ago they wouldn't have done it?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense. That's probably not a good way to define what luxury is. And even the Ark thing, you know, the Ark is really cool. You're going to like it. I've been to the Creation Museum, and it's really, really fun. But it's not inexpensive.
Right. No. No, it's not.
I don't think most people would say it's a luxury item.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not inexpensive. Your kids are going to have great memories at the family reunion. They're going to build memories. I mean, I can think back to being 7, 8, 9 years old and sitting at family reunions and having those conversations and eating, you know, banana pudding and all of those kinds of things. And so I think that's probably not the foundation that we need to look at is, well, is this a luxury item? Is this something a decade ago they would have done or wouldn't have done? Because that's all too relative. Really, the question is, by you going to the Ark, can you not support something that God's called you to? Mm-hmm. So God, the Bible talked a lot about in the New Testament, caring for the poor and caring for the widows, caring for those that God has put in front of you, caring for the body. Is there someone in our body that needs your care? And you go, you know, I can't take care of that because of cable, or I can't take care of that because of the ark, or I can't take care of that because of my iPhone bill. If that's the case, then maybe there are some luxury items in your life, but mm-hmm. you know, if you look at your life and you say, man, I'm giving, I think, faithfully to the body in the way that God wants me to. I'm giving faithfully to charities that God wants me to. I'm supporting some ministries that I really believe in. I think that I'm open to God speaking new things into my life, and I don't feel like there are luxury items that are stopping me from doing that. I think that's probably a good starting point for all of us to look at, and even to just look at our budget. I mean, that can be a really scary thing to look at a budget.
Very scary.
And just to look at, like, how often do you eat out? How much money do you spend eating out in a year? You know, how much money do you spend at Chick-fil-A in 1 year?
But that's the mission field, Chick-fil-A. So that's a little bit different. Let's not go there, Corey. Okay? I ate there yesterday. And so, I hate to step on toes. Yeah, I do think that we have a...
Any money you spend at Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A is okay. It's all...
Spend as much, it's as if you're giving to the Annie Armstrong. It's similar, very similar. Lottie Moon, Hobby Lobby, very, very similar offering. I'm kidding. That is not true. But as we look at those things and we look at our own lives, I think all of us, if we're honest and transparent, can look at some of our purchases and go, yeah, that was dumb, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That did in fact prevent me from impacting the kingdom,
right?
Just because I wanted it, or
right.
just because
That's
someone
right.
else had it, I
That's
thought
right.
I needed it. I even think about our mortgages, our homes, and we look at our homes and we go, well, we're going to purchase this home and that's going to allow us to invite more people in and really have community. And we want it to be a place where people feel like they can come. And then you're in it for a year and a half, 2 years, and you're going, we haven't invited anybody over.
Hmm.
We haven't, you know, and so how are we viewing these things? And then you have the other side of it. You have envy. And so, where people have no idea that some of these people that have accumulated quite a bit of wealth are in fact showering blessings and
right.
and giving a ton of money, and instead of people recognizing that, they're just envious, and so they say bad things about those that have the funds in the bank account.
So are the luxury items that you have stopping you from generosity? Are they stopping you from being generous in the ways that God is calling you to? That's where those luxury items are really getting in the way of what God has for you.
Yeah, and I think when we're about to go to break, when we come back, we'll kind of go a little bit deeper into this and say, okay, what does Scripture say? Does it talk specifically about our spending? Does it talk about how do we look at this through the lens of, okay, we have the prosperity gospel that says one thing. We have the other extreme of that, which is more like the poverty gospel that
right.
says a whole different thing. And what is the everyday Christian look at those extremes and go, where do I fit somewhere in there? How does my budget, how does the job that I have, how does the money that I have fit into that? And then we may even look at items exactly and say, okay, well, in this scenario, in this context, it may mean this, but in this context, it could mean something completely different. We'll talk more when we come back. So today we are talking about the way you spend your money. I'm kidding. It's the way all of us spend our money, the way we look at luxury items, the way we look at being good stewards of the funds that we have. And so we thought it'd also be a good time to say that we're starting a building campaign at Short. I'm kidding. We're not doing that.
It's only offices.
Yeah.
We're just doing a building
Jason
campaign.
Jason comes
of
back
only
from sabbatical
offices.
And he gets a ton of emails. Hey, so what is this building campaign for a bigger office? Mainly for Jason. It's the weird part. I'm kidding. That is not, as far as I know, that's not what we're doing.
It's not true.
Yeah. And so as we look at this and as we look at, finances and all of these things, start us with the prosperity gospel says that if you give more to the church, or if you pray more, or if you read more, or if you're a good Christian, you're in church every Sunday, then not only are you going to be good to go, you're going to be blessed. And
right.
so you hear a person like Joel Osteen say often that, your bank account's going to grow, And if it's not growing, that's because there's something in your life. You're not praying enough. You're not going to church enough, which is, we would say, completely anti-gospel and not true. And then you have the other side of that, that would be the poverty gospel, that says if you live in a nice home, if you buy coffee at Starbucks, if you go to Disney, you are anti-gospel. You need to be living in poverty and spending your money, any money that you do have on that thing. And so we would say both of those are extremes. And so for the everyday Christians that's trying to sift through this, and maybe they're watching the news and they see an interview with Joel Osteen, or they see an interview with Shane Claiborne, who's pushing another type of gospel, or they read Radical from David Platt without a full context of what David was trying to get across there. How do we walk through that as the everyday Christian that hey, I am in church every Sunday, and then I'm going to work on Monday, and Monday through Friday I'm working, and my kids got sports and all of these things. What's the best way to walk through that?
Yeah, I think when you look at what Christ said about finances, he, and even Paul in Paul's writings, they were talking about the heart of the issue. So remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus has this conversation with him and then reads the heart of the rich young ruler and says to him, well, then give everything away, right? And he walks away and can't follow Jesus, because his heart was committed to, my identity is built up in the money and the finances I have. And, you know, you were talking about the prosperity gospel. Really, the prosperity gospel taps into this hidden secret that most of us have as Christians. And that hidden secret is, if I'll pray, if I'll go to church, if I'll be better than most, if I'll do mostly right things, if I'll go to a couple of Bible studies, surely my life's going to work out okay. Mm-hmm. Like, bad things aren't good. God, I got cancer at 30. What? How does this happen? I've been a good person. I'm trying to live for you. I'm trying to go to church. Like, you can look at the church attendance.
Yep.
Look at the roles. I'm doing good. I'm praying. I'm going to Bible studies. How did you let this happen? And what prosperity theology does is it grabs that kind of hidden secret on all of us, partners it with some legit verses about God blessing us in the scripture, and kind of twists all of that to say, yeah, see where scripture says that this deep, dark secret inside of you, that's okay. So you can pursue that. And the problem with prosperity theology is it even goes a step further. So it says the reason you're not being blessed is because you're not stepping out in faith. So if you will give more money, mm-hmm. if you will step out in faith, if you'll pay for my tea towels with your credit card, then God will shower down blessings. That's why he's not blessing you, is because you're not stepping out in faith. So give me more money, give the church more money, give my ministry more money, and then God will bless you, which is not true. I mean, there's just no foundation to that. Well, the poverty gospel is the overcorrection of that. Mm-hmm. And the poverty gospel, again, looks at this thing that says, the Bible talked a lot about caring for the poor and caring for the widow and caring for the needs of those who are around us. There are needs all over. And so what they take that and they say, well, then if there are needs, how dare you live in yeah. comfort? How dare you ignore the needs around you? How could you buy a $5 coffee when that $5 could have fed this person? How dare you live in your nice house and water your yard, you know, with the irrigation system, when people need water in the world and are dying because they don't have water? And so they take the need and they elevate need above, again, what Christ and what Paul wrote about, which is the heart. Where is your heart? Is your heart committed, and is your heart focused on what God has for you? Is your heart focused on, this is what God's calling me to? Or is your heart focused on things? And the problem is, in prosperity gospel and in poverty gospel, we make other things idols. Mm-hmm. We make our success and our prosperity an idol that we're pursuing, or we make the needs of others and the needs of the poor and the needs of the widow and the needs of the outcast the idol. In both of those cases, that's false. I mean, you think about, you know, the lady who came and poured out all of her oil on Jesus' mm-hmm. feet, and she was criticized by the disciples, who said, we could have taken this and we could have sold this and we could have cared for the needs of everyone. And Jesus said, hey, I'm here. She's doing a good thing here. Why? Because her heart was focused on Jesus. Her heart was focused in on his. Her heart was focused in on worshiping him. And so for Jesus, it's a question of where's your heart? If your heart is in tune with his, then he's going to reveal the needs that he wants you to care for. He's going to reveal the needs. And I even think, I mean, one of the challenges with radical that people misread in that is there are local needs, there are regional needs, and then there are global needs. Mm-hmm. Well, you and I are called more specifically to the local needs than we are to the global needs. So there are ministries in our community that we are supposed to deal with. Like we are supposed to connect with. Right. We are supposed to be a part of. And those, God has geographically placed us right here in this community care for needs. You know, last week on the podcast and on the radio show, we talked about education and homeschooling or private schooling or public schooling. Well, guess what? Public schools need mentors. Mm-hmm. Public schools need help. If you have decided that for your family, you're going to homeschool your kids, you may still need to be a part of public schooling with mentoring. You may still need to be reading in public schools at times. You may need to be still caring for, you know, we just did a huge project where we put together bags for teachers and all of that kind of stuff. So there's still this need, but the need is not the idol, or the need can become the idol if we're not careful. Christ always needs to be the focus. He needs to be the heart that we're going after. So putting our heart, connecting our heart with the heart of God, and then seeing the needs that are around us and responding to those really needs to be our focus.
Yeah, and I think like you said, it's idolatry. That is, and I believe Tim Keller is the one that said, look, that is the first, that's the sin that makes us do all the other sins, is we elevate self. And even if you're living the prosperity gospel, you're elevating self. How much, what is this going to do for me? What's the return on investment? If I'm giving to the church, if I'm going to church, if I'm praying more, if I'm reading more, what am I getting out of this? So it's about me. It's not about how can I get closer to Jesus. And the poverty gospel is if I do all of these things, this is going to make me better in these areas. And even when we read about Job's story in the scripture, I think if we're honest, a lot of us go, well, that kind of stinks. I mean, Job was like the greatest dude on the planet.
Right.
How he doesn't deserve that. He didn't deserve losing his family. He doesn't deserve losing his property. He doesn't deserve losing his friends. He doesn't deserve getting sick. And so we read that and we go, this is what the scripture says. But the sinful, prideful side of us goes, well, hold on, he didn't deserve that.
Right.
And so we have to look at this in a frankly, we don't want what we deserve. If we're honest with ourselves as fallen creatures, what we deserve is eternity apart from God. But instead, he put Jesus as the mediator and corrected that. And through that grace, we have hope. And so when we look at these things, when we look at the way we spend our money, when we look at the way others spend their money, we need to look at it through a biblical lens. And we do, and what I'd like to talk about when we come back is what kind of margins do we have in our life? And so do we have those things where if something comes up with a family in need, are we able to help? If we're at a restaurant and we see an opportunity to pay for someone's meal, do we have the margin in our life to do that immediately or go, man, I wish I could, but I can't? We'll talk more when we come back. So 3 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row, Will Smith and Men in Black have been featured on the show, and I am okay with that.
I mean, I walked into the building today humming this song.
Yeah, I'm here for it. It's so good. You know, Will Smith, his son just turned 21 over the weekend.
That's crazy.
And Will Smith still, like, he's aged really well. Now, I don't know if he's paid some money to do that, but he's aged really well.
I'm guessing he has.
And,
but I think he also works out and takes care of his body as well.
Yeah, for sure. Which, you know, I mean, you want to talk about luxury items. The Smith family can spend luxury items, but he's a good dude.
I think reading somewhere, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke. Yep. Like, he really does take care of his body, obviously works out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a, like I say every week, he's a treasure to the planet, and we're blessed to be a part of it. And so as we look at the way we spend, and I think you did a great job last segment kind of breaking down the prosperity gospel versus the poverty gospel, but just look at some practical ways. Somebody may be listening and going, well, okay, that's all well and good, but how do I know? We have a Disney trip coming up, am I to feel guilty that this Disney trip's coming up? Or we were going to buy a car next month. Am I to feel guilty about taking that on? Or we're moving, and the house that we are getting is an upgrade in every way. Are we to feel guilty about that? How do we look at this through the lens? And I think where we mess up at times when we talk about this issue is people walk out just feeling a ton of weight of guilt.
Right.
And I don't think that's the goal. That's certainly not the goal. What we hope to do, not just hope that you would do, but hope that we would do in our own homes, is look and say, are we creating scenarios in our home where our kids see that the things of our lives have more value than the kingdom?
That's right.
And if we're honest and transparent with that, with our spouses and with the people that we're in community with, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And so I think John Piper, and you sent this to me earlier, John Piper wrote a good piece about this. How do we kind of walk through it? And he's got four things. And so start with us there. What are some things he looks at when he goes into spending?
Yeah, so he's looking at, and he's even answering these things on, are these non-essentials okay? So this isn't milk. This isn't, you know, bread. This is honestly, I mean, you and I were talking about, you know, smart speakers.
Yeah.
You know, so Echo devices in our homes, that is a non-essential. We have them in our house and they're awesome.
We do too.
I mean, they're sound machines for the kids. They are dance machines for our family. They're just incredible. That is a non-essential.
They're listening devices for the government.
That's
right. All those things.
I typically wake up in the morning and do a little bit of just a thing about how much I love Trump and how great it is. And I love the CIA. I love the FBI.
That's right.
I am a law-abiding citizen.
I've done nothing wrong.
That's right. Just to make sure everything's okay. So he has four things that he wrote down that I thought we'd kind of walk through. The first one is this purchase good for my soul and for the souls of the people around me? So if I purchase this, is this going to be something that is bad for my soul or bad for those people that are around me? Is this going to be bad for my family? Is this going to be something that really kind of lifts me up? I remember reading a story or hearing from somebody, I actually think it was a friend that told me about this. He bought a car and drove it for the weekend and then took it back. Mm-hmm. And was like, you know what? It just wasn't good for my soul.
Yep.
I mean, people were looking at me in this car and were going, man, look at that guy in that car.
I get the similar response in my van. When people see me in the 12-passenger van, they're like, look at that guy in that van.
That's a different.
It's a different
response.
Oh, okay.
We're looking at you for a different reason.
Gotcha.
The second thing that he says is it good for efficiency in life ministry? So is this thing going to stop you from doing ministry, or is this going to make it more effective? So you got a 12-passenger van that is a really, really good looking van.
Come on.
And it helps you be more efficient in ministry.
Right.
It helps you care for your family. You can load up all them youngins in there and drive them around, and they have space to, each of them have a different bench, right?
They do.
And so, you know, that helps you be efficient in ministry. Honestly, we were talking about iPhones earlier. Yep. Our cell phones help us be more efficient in ministry. So is this thing going to help us be efficient in ministry, or is it going to stop us from being efficient? The third one is it affordable without saying to the world that you love these things more than Christ, that this is your pride? So purchasing something that says, yeah, I care more about this than anything else. I'm trying to find life in this. And then the fourth one is it affordable without replacing or hindering good deeds? So when I spend this, it's going to say, yeah, unfortunately, I can't care for that missionary that we've been supporting in Africa any longer. But he'll be fine.
Yeah, we needed this boat.
That's right. We'll pay this thing off in 5 years and then we'll support him again. That should put a check in our spirit a little bit. You know, if you're reducing the amount of money you're giving to FCA or Young Life or Hope or any of those kind of things because, well, we went ahead and upgraded for the, you know, luxury package in the car. That's probably should be a check in our spirit that, you know, maybe that's a non-essential you don't need.
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing because we, like I said earlier, I think all of us have had those moments. I mean, I can look back in my life and go, wow, that was a dumb, that hindered my, that made me sinful.
Yeah.
It hindered anything that I could have done for the poor, the needy, the kingdom. And so there needs to be a sense of generosity in the church. In gospel people, you should be a generous people.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't mean you can't have nice things. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you can't, buy a nice car or live in a nice home or those things. But what it does mean is we have to look and go, well, if we do this, is that going to hinder us? Or like you said, is it going to make us look at our budget and go, man, you know, we've been given X amount a month to this ministry or this charity. That's got to end today.
Right.
Or I've even heard recently, because there's about 1,000 politicians running for president at the moment. As we look at that, we've even looked at tax returns and go, oh, they're not giving anything.
Right.
And one politician actually came out and said, yeah, my finances maybe not, and they're worth a lot of money. But I've been a politician for X amount of years. That's
public servant.
That's my gift. And I'm going, well, no, that shouldn't be our heart. Is, well, you get me, and I'm enough.
I didn't give you money when I came in today, but I feel like I'm enough for you.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing. And I think in his mind, it was, this is going to come off right because I'm a public servant.
Right.
But when you hear that, you're going, that's kind of a turnoff. That's not what we're meaning here. And so, so it's interesting whenever tax returns are talked about because of politicians, and we always look and see what they're giving. Maybe we need to look at our own tax returns.
I don't know about that.
And go, and I'm not one to say, bring them to church Sunday. Let's all look at everybody's tax returns. Although I am curious. But when we look at those and look at our own lives and go, okay, where are we helping? Or like I said earlier, I love to be in a place where you're at a restaurant or something and you see something going on at a table, and for whatever reason, you just feel compelled, I want to buy their meal.
Right.
There have been times, many times in my life, where I felt compelled and I went, man, but if I have no idea what that's going to cost.
Right.
And I don't have margin for that.
Right.
Now, if I knew, I've even been lying at McDonald's before, and the person in front of me bought mine, so I felt the need to buy the person behind me. And when the lady looked at me and said, they're buying a lot, my gut went, oh no, that's not. So you're not even having margin to buy somebody's meal at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And feeling like you're going to have to pry this money out of my cold, dead hands.
Yep.
And so are we setting up barriers and boundaries within our own spending to allow that opportunity, not just to bless someone else, but to allow for, like you were saying before we came on air, allow for an HVAC. Hey, it may go out. Or something going on within the home that's not going to immediately put us in debt. Do we have margins in our life that allow for those things?
Yeah, most families don't have much over $800 if an emergency comes right now.
Yeah.
So most families in America, if an expense came of over $800, they would have to go into debt. They'd have to put it on credit cards. They just don't have the cash to pay for that. And that some of that may not be because of luxury items.
Right. Right?
Some of that may be some practical issues. But I was thinking about a really goofy illustration that may help us with this, which is, if you and I leave right now, we go to Dairy Queen, we each buy some Blizzards, mm-hmm. and you buy a Butterfinger Blizzard and I buy the Oreo Blizzard. If we buy the mini, that's probably enough.
Probably.
I mean, it's awful for us. It's going to be terrible. We're going to be adding a lot of sugar
it's
and
gonna
fat.
Taste amazing.
But it's going to taste amazing. If we buy the extra large cup, It that's really bad for us. That's a whole lot of sugar. It's a whole lot of fat. It's a whole lot of stuff our bodies do not need. And it's kind of both of those are non-essentials. One is going to taste really good and be a nice, really treat for us in the middle of summer. The other one is kind of taking it to an extreme.
Yeah.
No one needs the extra large. I mean, what are you doing? That's awful for you. And so I think looking at our purchases and going, this is something that's going to be really helpful for us and effective, and we're going to enjoy this, and it's going to make memories, and it's not going to take away. But man, if I walk into Dairy Queen today and you're eating an extra large Blizzard, I'm looking at you. I'm casting some.
What if? What if I then say, Corey, I got another spoon.
I'm in.
Dig
for
in.
That.
Dig in. We'll be back. So, as far as happy songs go, where would you rank this compared to Don't Worry, Be Happy, which in my opinion may be the greatest happy song ever, Don't Worry, Be Happy?
This is a very solid 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really solid and it's way up there.
Yeah, I think so.
But Don't Worry, Be Happy is not touched.
Yeah, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And I'm completely honest. When I hear the song Don't Worry, Be Happy, it makes me happy.
Oh,
really,
you
does.
Smile.
It just feels, I feel better.
Sometimes people start giggling when they hear it. I mean, you just, there's just this.
I feel better.
I agree with you.
Feel better. And so as we finish up the show today, I do think it's important that we point out, look, we're not telling you, hey, don't take that Disney trip. Don't buy that car. Don't buy that house. What we're saying is look at the way you're spending money. And if you look at your budget and you go, we're going to have to cut somewhere, and your first reaction is to cut kingdom things, not just tied to the church, but maybe you were given monthly to this charity or this ministry, and your first choice is, hey, I'm going to cut these things out. I would caution you on that. Maybe there are some other areas of our life that we can cut some of that spending.
I mean, I would even go a little bit further. If you feel like God is prompting you to give in some kingdom way and you can't, it is time to evaluate that budget.
Yeah, for sure.
And it may be time to downsize. It may be time. You know, we talked about education last week. If God is really saying to you, your kids need to be in a Christian school, but you just can't afford it, well, then you may need to be looking at that budget and looking like, what are we spending our money on if we can't do the things that God has called us to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so hopefully that was helpful today. As we finish up, there was an announcement at Shoreline this past Sunday that summer's about done, fall is coming, new series are coming, and new service times.
New service times for the fall.
And so what y'all are doing this time, y'all, I'm a partner at Shoreline too. If I read it right, what Jason said, we're going to have one service on Thursday, one on Friday, and one on Saturday.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay.
Jason's preaching all of those.
That's what I thought.
And Chuck's doing worship for all of them.
That's what I thought.
No, we're going to, on August the 4th, we're going to slide our schedules, our three services earlier.
Okay.
So, you know, I think what you guys have talked about, the issue that we had is we had a lot of preschool families that all came to one time.
Right.
And so they're all bringing their kids downstairs at the exact same time in that middle service. So we're going to slide everything forward. Hopefully that's going to provide two really attractive options for families. So our service times will be 8 o'clock, 9:15, and 10:45.
Okay.
Starting on August the 4th.
Yeah, August the 4th. He's not saying it's starting this Sunday.
Nope.
August 4th. Pick out the time you want to come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the, let's say for the family that's been a partner of Shoreline for a long time, and they've been in, is there a certain service you would encourage them to go to, or would you say just pick your time?
Just pick your time.
Okay.
8 o'clock is, we're not going to have children's ministry. There's no Shoreline kids or Shoreline students.
At 8 o'clock, guys.
At 8 o'clock, it is only going to be for kindergarten and below. So that really is going to be if you're a preschool family and you're already up with a kid that wakes up super early, or if you're an empty nester and you're already up, come join us in that. A lot of our volunteers for the 9 o'clock service come at that, or the 9:15 service come at that 8 o'clock. So, that 8 o'clock may be for the Wood family, you guys attend at 8 o'clock, and then at 9:45 you serve and your kids go to the kids ministry.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And it's one of those things where we have to figure it out. Everybody's got to figure it out. And for some, it's the, there has been times where we're like, man, the earliest service is perfect for us. And then there's times where we're like, yeah, now the one-year-old isn't sleeping.
I mean, that's right.
I legitimately, last night, we probably slept 3 hours. I'm not even exaggerating. That may be exaggerating. And so the youngest was kind of had a rough night. And so, there are moments where we have to work that in, but either way, find a time and be there.
Here would be my request.
It's important.
Here's my biggest request. Come early.
Yep.
And sit towards the front.
Come on.
The services are full, especially if you come to the last two. Services are going to be full. A lot of people are going to be rolling in right when we start or a little bit after. So if you're a partner, get there as early as you can. Sit up closer to the front so that we can leave those spaces in the back for those that get there later.
That's right. It's going to be fun. We'll talk to you next week.